It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. Thank you so much for listening. I think you're going to find this morning's show absolutely fascinating as we roll into the first Saturday of August. And usually I start off August with saying, grab a book, go find a big shade tree, and enjoy some of the slower days of summer. With everything that's gone on this year, I think we've all read lots of books, and by now have also found some shade trees to relax. So this week, some very unfortunate news happened in the conservation world that came as a really bad surprise to many of us. And for those of you who have been listening to me on the Great Outdoors Show for a long time, you know that from time to time I have talked about this mine in Alaska called the Pebble Mine. I've had Mackay Campbell, the former director of Game and Fish in Alaska, talking about it as recently as a month ago. Guido Rahr, president of the Wild Salmon Center, has been on. I've talked about it. This week, out of nowhere, the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, reversed a longstanding ruling and said the Pebble Mine should go ahead, that there is no environmental significance. And maybe they thought that the world would be occupied with other things. I really don't know. But this morning I have on the air Emily Anderson. Emily is with the Wild Salmon Center. Emily is calling us this morning from Anchorage, Alaska, one of my favorite places in the world. And of course, Emily, we can't go there this year. If we can go, I guess we have to quarantine for so long, we probably would meet ourselves coming back. But thank you for being with us, Emily. And to start off with, before I go to the Pebble Mine, you live in Alaska, you work in Alaska. How devastating, if you will, is the impact on the tourism industry, particularly fishing in Alaska, at this point in time due to the travel restrictions and COVID?
Yeah, well, Charlie, thanks so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it. You know, that's a really great question. And, you know, it's, I think our economy across the board, it's been hurting throughout the nation. The Alaska economy is certainly hurting. You know, we have a large dependence not only on the fishing industry here, but also on our tourism industry. So our tourism industry has taken a tremendous hit this year. Our fishing industry, however, our commercial fishing industry is still moving along, and we've been doing so in a, you know, as safe a manner as possible to produce fish and make sure it gets out to the to all the consumers out there. So the fishing industry has been going on, and particularly the Bristol Bay fishery has been one of the biggest on record.
Oh, is that right? So,
yes.
So, Emily, can you give our listeners a bit of a brief background on the Pebble Mine? For those of you who have not heard about it previously, or for those of you who've listened before but may not remember all the details, do you want to, Emily, just give a 50,000-foot overview as to why we care so much about Bristol Bay and why this Pebble Mine is such a bad idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Bristol Bay is a very, very special place with respect to the, you know, kind of impact of not only the Pebble Mine project, but also just for its global significance for salmon. You know, I work at the Wild Salmon Center. We are very salmon focused, but Bristol Bay is extraordinarily special. Bristol Bay supplies roughly 50% of the global supply of sockeye salmon. And each year, between 40 to 60 million sockeye salmon and other species of salmon, you know, just start migrating up these river systems and nourish the entire ecosystem. It is an extraordinary, extraordinary place. And because we have those vibrant salmon runs in Bristol Bay, we also have a really great economy that's based on that sustainable resource. It supplies 14,000 commercial fishing jobs. Maybe most importantly for this audience, it also supports 7,000 sport fish and hunting jobs, and $1.5 billion in economic activity annually. So it is an extraordinarily important system on a global significance and a global scale. The Pebble Mine is a giant threat to all of Bristol Bay. especially all of those jobs and salmon populations there. It would be one of the largest open pit mines in the world at the headwaters of two of the most prolific salmon streams in Bristol Bay, the Nooshigak and the Quijack rivers. And the Pebble Mine is what we consider to be a metallic sulfide mine, meaning that when you actually mine it, it creates a waste that generates toxic waste in the form of acid. And if you can't hold back that toxic waste, then it will leach and seep into those river systems and destroy everything downstream. And that is the biggest threat that's posed by the Pebble Mine.
So we're visiting with Jennifer Anderson of the Wild Salmon Center. And Jennifer, if you fished in Alaska and you fished in Bristol Bay, as I've had the great fortune and privilege to do many times, it truly is one of the last places on Earth that has been left untouched, except for, you know, a few native villages and some fishing camps. Where does the traction come, given the enormous interest in fishing in Alaska? Where does the traction come for this mine to even get any kind of standing where people would think it was a good idea?
That's an excellent, excellent question. Unfortunately, the state of Alaska, our governor right now, is really pushing for expanded mining in the state to generate revenues for state government. The current federal administration is also pushing for mining and other industry-related ventures to move forward. And what we've seen with this particular project, I've been working on this issue to protect Bristol Bay for over 10 years now. And, you know, we saw in 2014, the EPA actually step in and say, you know what, we're going to protect this area because it is too special. It is too important for us to, you know, destroy it with a potentially short-term mining venture. Unfortunately, those sentiments have changed quite significantly, and the Army Corps of Engineers is the lead permitting agency, and at the moment, they're fast-tracking this project. Again, I just want to also emphasize the fact that the company behind this project that serves to benefit from it is a foreign mining company. They're a Canadian mining company, and so a lot of the revenues will be flowing out of the United States. So, you know, it's a great question to ask. It's unfortunate that this project has gotten as far as it has at this point. And I think there's some great opportunity for Alaskans to and people around the nation to voice their opposition to destroying such a national gem for a short-term mining venture.
Well, one of the things, Jennifer, that I guess the saying is, you know, follow the money. And in this case, and I've been with a great friend of Guido Rars, who's president of the Wild Salmon Center for a long time, and I know a number of the individuals personally who have lodges in the Bristol Bay area who have been very, very opposed to this. Local communities up in Equok and places I've been, they're opposed to it. So the question of follow the money, to me, seems to be a central question. And given the EPA's sudden reversal on this and the Army Corps of Engineers also reversal, if you will, or just simply capitulation, I guess it will be interesting, and we're not going to get know today on this radio show, but I would imagine that following the money is going to produce some very interesting questions as to who got to the EPA, who got to the Corps of Engineers to cause them to reverse. And who is benefiting financially? Because I cannot believe that just a Canadian company has that kind of clout and that they are benefiting financially, and we get the top levels of the United States government, those people responsible for defending and protecting our natural resources, to tip over. I would suspect as you dig through this, Emily, you're going to find as you follow the money that there are going to be some individuals somewhere who had connections and used them.
I would imagine that you're right.
So, Emily, not to put you on the spot, because I would never do that, I hope you at the Wild Salmon Center and others can figure that out, because if we can, then we have a chance to undo this. And we need to go to a break now, but when we come back from the break, I'd like to ask you how this can be undone. What's the timeline for the tens of thousands of people listening across America today to the Great Outdoors Show and who will podcast it later on. What can they do? How do they become engaged? And then I also obviously want to hear about some of your other work at the Wild Salmon Center. We are visiting with Emily Anderson of the Wild Salmon Center, headquartered in Portland, Oregon. I have the pleasure of talking to Emily in Anchorage, Alaska this morning. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN, and I'll be back in a moment. But first, a message from our great sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thank you for being with me. I am visiting with Emily Anderson of the Wild Salmon Center, who this morning I'm talking to from Anchorage, Alaska. And I guess, Emily, my first question after we come back from the break here is, you have been involved in trying to stop this mine for quite a while. For everyone listening to the show this morning who wants to get engaged, either through podcast or whatever, what are some of the things we can do? And then also, what is the time frame for actually trying to stop this pebble mine?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question and the opportunity to answer it. This is a really critical phase of the battle to protect Bristol Bay. And as you mentioned earlier in the show here, the Army Corps of Engineers on last Friday released what's called the Pebble Mine Final Environmental Impact Statement. And that's kind of their overall assessment as to whether or not there will be impacts to the Bristol Bay fishery, to the economy in the region, to the people in the region, to all of the other environmental resources in the region. The Army Corps in that statement has concluded that everything's going to be fine, which we know it will not. So between now and the next 30 to 60 days or so, we have a window of opportunity before the Army Corps makes its final decision, which is called the Record of Decision, and also issues the Clean Water Act permit that the Canadian Mining Company has, you know, been really after at this point. So what we can ask people to do right now when we have this critical window of opportunity is, first, you can go to our website, wildsalmoncenter.org, and take action. We have a very, very easy link. It'll take 2 minutes of your time and lend your voice to the fight to protect Bristol Bay. Actually, right now, what we're doing is asking EPA to veto the Army Corps' decision and the permit decision. And that's a very strong ask right now, and we could use everybody's help in doing that. We always can use a donation. That's another way you can help. And of course, if you're listening to this and you feel inspired to actually share this information with others on your social networks and your social media networks and your email accounts, whatever you can to get the word out to help us elevate this issue nationally. We really need everybody's help.
So the Pebble Mine in Alaska, being proposed to be built by a Canadian mining company, could potentially destroy the world's greatest remaining fishery. As you said, the vast majority of salmon, sockeye salmon in the world come into the Bristol Bay fishery. It just seems to me, Emily, that something is out of sync here. In an era where we protect our great last places and our great last resources, when we think that this might happen, it just seems that it doesn't all add up, which is why I come back to what I said a moment ago. Hopefully we can follow the money and figure out why the Corps is doing this, why the EPA wants to do this, because I don't think it's to enrich the Canadians. I really don't. So, Emily, let me ask you before we have to end the show. Wild Salmon Center has been working in the Pacific Rim and in Alaska for a long time. Would you say the Pebble Mine in Bristol Bay is, at this point in time, is there any other issue in the world that raises to the, in for fisheries, that raises to the level of concern of this?
Boy, you know, I've been working on this issue for a long time, and from my perspective, this is one of the biggest issues that we will face in our lifetime with respect to a potential project destroying our greatest salmon fishery remaining on Earth. I think that this is a time and this is a moment in our nation's history where we all need to be extremely and extraordinarily vigilant. We can't allow this to, you know, move forward on our watch. And so I don't think that there's anything more significant with respect to fisheries than this particular project.
So how did you end up in Alaska?
Yeah, well, I'm actually a Midwest girl.
How are you so lucky to be there?
Yeah, well, I grew up in Minnesota, and I've always enjoyed, you know, fishing with my dad, and he took a couple of backpacking trips when I was in my early 20s to Alaska, fell in love with it, and ended up moving up here. That was about 15 years ago, and have been here ever since, and just feel extraordinarily lucky to be part of the organization I work for, but also to be able to travel all over the place and do the work that I do and meet all the people that depend on these, you know, amazing fisheries for survival.
So you love Bristol Bay. You've been there a lot. On a personal note, I told my kids, all of whom have fished with me in the Bristol Bay area on the Quijiac or the Nisqually or other areas, what was happening. And they, being of that generation and age, they immediately went online. They immediately found the Wild Salmon Center and what you were doing. And they, however they do it, you know, they went to thousands of people instantly, Instagram and all the things, tools that they use that I hate to say I really don't. And so I think one of the things, maybe, Emily, if we can reach families or individuals that have been to Bristol Bay and with their kids, you might just find that there's a whole generation that, that believes, as we do, that this is one of the greatest places in the world and we shouldn't destroy it.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I think our big message at this point in time, even though it's very disappointing where we are with the permitting situation, is that this isn't over at all. This fight is not over. There are people all over the United States that care about this place, and hopefully, you know, we'll be able to protect it, and it'll be there for future generations, for families to be able to share with their kids and their grandkids and in way into the future.
Well, Emily, I share it, and for those of you who've listened to me for over 20 years in the Great Outdoor Show, you know that I do not take positions easily. This is one worth fighting for. Bristol Bay is one of our greatest treasures in the world. We can't afford to lose it. Emily Anderson of the Wild Salmon Center, thank you very much for being with me this morning. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors. I hope you have a wonderful week in the Great Outdoors. This is Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.